WNYC, and if cash is king, payment apps are the revolution. Watch out, Cash. You may want to start your escape to the countryside disguised as a peasant, because new technologies are making the convenience of living cash-free a reality. According to some research, almost half of us walk around with less than $20 in our pocket, and there are so many other ways to pay, right? A dozen and counting, including mobile wallets and store-branded payment apps, and, of course, old-fashioned credit and debit cards. But according to my next guest, the benefits of going cashless can come with a number of potential security and privacy trade-offs, which aren't immediately obvious and may also cost you. Jeff Bliskell is senior editor at Consumer Reports and is the author of the recent article, Cashing Out: New Technologies Are Making the Convenience of Living Cash-Free a Reality. Jeff, thanks for doing this. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
Well, living in the city completely cashless is still almost impossible unless you want to spend a minimum of $5 every time you go into a bodega. So how close are we to no cash?
Well, actually, we are quite close because if you think about it, credit cards and debit cards are also cashless. A smaller, you know, a rising amount is these mobile wallets like Apple Pay and Android Pay. So they're still trying to gain ground because, as you mentioned, not everybody accepts those, and you do have some minimums there. But about 14% of the volume, only about 14% of the volume of our expenditures is in cash now. That's according to the latest data. So there's, you know, we're paying lots of other ways. And if you think, if you include online bill pay, people are doing that more, so you're not writing checks. You know, it's gaining traction. We're at a tipping point, according to the experts.
And Venmo is so popular, it's become a verb. People say, I'll Venmo you. Like, I'll Google
right.
that. It's so easy. But I guess one of the big questions you're raising is it really secure? So what are the security risks for a payment app like Venmo?
Well, certainly, you know, there are some security risks, obviously, if it gets hacked. And cyber criminals are relentless, so that's always going to be a risk out there, and it can put you at risk. But with Venmo, if you're connected to – generally, if you use an underlying credit card, and a lot of these cashless payment methods use an underlying credit card or debit card, you will have the same protections. So if you take mobile wallets, for example, Apple Pay, you load on a credit card. If something happens, somebody hacks in or somebody, you know, intercepts. Now, it's more difficult with the technology. It's actually better than a credit card, a plastic credit card, because there are built-in additional security features such as encryption and fingerprint. You know, your wallet will work unless you use your fingerprint to make it work. But if all that fails, you still have your consumer protections for credit cards. So if unauthorized charges, you're not going to pay for them.
Mm-hmm. Listeners, have you gone cashless? To what degree have you gone cashless? What's your preferred method of payment other than Big Green? Do you have questions for my guest, Jeff Bliskell, senior editor at Consumer Reports? He wrote the recent article, Cashing Out: New Technologies Are Making the Convenience of Living Cash-Free a Reality. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And you're right, one of the biggest privacy concerns is unanticipated uses of your data, because privacy policies tend to give their authors broad permission for uses that may not even exist yet. What do you have in mind in particular?
Well, you know, so at the moment, the biggest threat, quote unquote, is that you will get targeted advertising. The stuff that you buy with your mobile wallet, it may incorporate, they may include information about your Google searches and such. So what the idea of that is, oh, okay, you're looking around for stereo headsets. So you must be in the market for that. You know, you're searching for that. You must be in the market for that. And you went to a store and you bought something, you know, related to stereo headsets. And so you're going to start receiving ads for that. That's not really that huge a threat. The more troubling one or the concerning one may be down the line. And again, because these privacy, you know, you sign these privacy agreements, or you don't sign them, you agree to them by using the service, mm-hmm. and they're very open-ended. So, for example, you know, how will this affect your insurance rates? If it's suddenly found that you're out partying and gambling a lot, or you know, going to bars, have a lot of charges on bars and such, maybe that could lead to someone cobbling together and developing an algorithm that suddenly says, aha, this guy, you know, we'd better raise his insurance rates. So that's kind of the things where you don't expect. And then, of course, with everything exposed to the government spying on us with the phone service. And I mean, ultimately, the government has access to all these records. So that's another concern out there. But again, at the moment, it's just marketing things. And people are kind of like, oh, that's pretty harmless. But it can be not harmless.
Let me take a caller, because I think Aaron in Pine Bush wants to amplify what you just said about the government. Aaron, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Yeah, hi. You know, I work in an industry where tips and cash are wonderful and actually, you know, help me live day to day. And I just feel if we were to totally go cashless, you know, not only would Uncle Sam know every dealing that we know, and if anybody who works in the service industry, if we were to be completely honest and if they know every single penny that we made, we really wouldn't be able to survive as a service.
So you mean the best reason for continuing a cash economy is tax evasion?
Not necessarily, but it's also a way, I think I'm able to kind of pass a better price on to the customer if I have a cash, knowing that I'm uh-huh. not going to be killed with taxes myself. I mean, I just feel like it almost wouldn't work. I've worked in places, you know, whether you're doing construction, whether you're a hair salesman, if you don't have cash and you're doing a service, unless you're selling a product and that's what you can do because that's where you can jack up your prices.
Right.
But if you're just a strictly service business, it's really hard to kind of do everything, I guess, by the books. And whether you want to call it tax evasion or whatnot, or having Uncle Sam know every little thing possible so they can squeeze every little penny out of you, I don't always think that's, like, the best idea.
Right. Some people might call it tax evasion. Donald Trump, we learned last night, would call it smart. But Jeff, what about that?
Yeah.
And Aaron is suggesting a few things there. One is that the cashless economy is actually going to make things more expensive.
Yeah, well, I do think she's right on the right track about just kind of the freedom, if you will, that we have. You know, I mean, if I got a speeding ticket for every time I went over the speed limit, you know, I'd probably have 100 speeding tickets, right? You know, because as you drive, sometimes you go, oh, it's 35, I'm going 40, whatever. What she's talking about there, I think, is it allows for this kind of perfect surveillance of you and, you know, every little thing, and there's no freedom and there's no, cutting some slack here and there. I think that is a concern, and there is an underground economy in the U.S. And one of the reasons people don't want to go, you know, one of the reasons people pay in cash is because they're doing something illegal or they're buying something that they don't want people to know about.
Right.
So this is something that has to be balanced, I guess, because people want their privacy and we want our freedom. You know, we don't want the government, you know, in our looking over our shoulder every single thing we do.
Aaron, thanks. Call us again. Zane in Maplewood, you're on WNYC. Hi, Zane.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
A quick comment with the caveat that I've got a 3-year-old in the background, so I may have to take off any second.
Yep.
But I've been pleasantly surprised with using Samsung Pay. I don't believe your caller mentioned that on system. You can use it at any credit card swipe. It has some technology in it that broadcasts it your information right into any Magstrip and reader, and it's been great. I've been saved a bunch of times forgetting my wallet in the car or anything like that. I've been using it for probably over a year, and I've only encountered one machine ever that wouldn't take it. So That's about all I got. I'm going to take my comment.
Zane, thanks a lot.
I can give you more detail on that. We do mention Samsung Pay in there. Apple Pay and Android Pay work on something called near-field communications technology, which is like a radio. There has to be a specific reader that can transmit and send these signals back and forth with the phone. Samsung Pay, so that about 3 million merchants in the U.S. have that technology now. So you could use your Apple Pay in about 3 million merchants, physical stores. Samsung Pay has that technology, plus they have built into the phone a technology that allows the phone to communicate with the MagStripe. When you swipe the card through the MagStripe reader. That's a little bit different technology. It has encryption and such, so it's secure. But it allows Samsung Pay to communicate with it's usable now at about 10 million retailers. So it's more widely available.
Stephanie in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Stephanie.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I may sound both old and old-fashioned with my questions and comments, but when I hear these things, I can't help but wonder about two things. One, what happens if and as the electrical grid goes down, as it did with September 11th and then the blackout, 6-7 months mm-hmm. later? It was a hot mess. I was there. I lived in Brooklyn. That's one thing. The second thing is, on the heels of, the discovery a year and a half later, whatever, that 500 million Yahoo email users got hacked, what if these systems get hacked? So when I hear these things, I say, hey, wait a minute. Great. It's convenient when it's convenient. It's when it's working.
And then it's a disaster when these – and, Stephanie, I'm going to cut you off only because we have a minute left in the show, and I want Jeff to be able to answer your really good questions. Jeff, go ahead.
Yes, and I don't think cash is ever going to completely go away because of exactly that. Another problem is what happens when your phone runs out of electricity, right? Your battery dies. You can't use it. So I think people will always need to have cash, and she's exactly right. In terms of when there's a hurricane, the Federal Reserve gets a big jump in from the banks at ordering cash because people go to the ATM and they want to have cash on hand. So cash is a very comforting thing to have in your pocket.
Well, it looks like we're headed for a world in which the big debate will be whether Harriet Tubman or Andrew Jackson should appear on the Venmo homepage. We thank Jeff Bliskell, senior editor at Consumer Reports, author of the article Cashing Out, New Technologies Are Making the Convenience of Living Cash-Free a Reality. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.